Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ada Marie Show, where she will provide answers to your life questions. During this hour, Ada Marie will talk about a favorite topic, then take your questions. Place all fears aside and know that there is a solution to every problem. She will lead you to the discovery that your life is meant to be about joy. Ada Marie is a revolutionary seer, conscious medium, healer, life coach, and counselor. Growing up on a farm in the eastern Montana prairie, Ada Marie was taught herbal medicine and mentored in intuitive sight by conscious mediums, her grandmothers. This knowledge had been handed down through generations. Being a seer and survivor, she trains and guides you on a path of physical and emotional regeneration, which is invaluable to understanding the individual steps necessary to achieve vitality and a life filled with inner calm and peace. She has a rare gift of hands-on healing and communicating universal knowledge. Her life mission is to pass this knowledge on to others. And so, let me welcome Ada Marie.
Thank you. And how are you today?
I'm great. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day to you. We have a rainy, cloudy day, but it's a nice day. You know, it's not heavy or anything. It's just a nice light rain and clouds, and we need the rain so desperately bad.
Oh, yes.
It's wonderful. I mean, it's like getting a miracle in the middle of the morning.
Oh, that's great.
So we're happy about that.
Well, we have a warm, sunshiny day. By warm, I mean 45 degrees, but
yeah.
It's the middle of winter, so
right.
That is warm. Yeah, I mean, you almost feel like you don't need to wear a coat outside, but of course, it's still too cold to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I need to tell you something. Just before you called, a lady had called up, and she'd seen the show, I guess, a couple months ago. I forgot about the show. And I had told people if their feet burn to put them in tomato juice or tomatoes, you know, and it'll take the burning out of your feet, which it really does a good job of it. And she wanted to know how she should prepare the tomatoes. I said, what? What are you talking about? Just take plain old tomatoes and chop them up and stick your feet on them and scrunch them with your feet.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you don't cook them, you don't do anything. They're just plain old tomatoes.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was really funny. So she said, well, what do you do? What do you do after that? I said, what do you mean, what do you do after that? She says, well, do you eat them? I said, well, I wouldn't. I would throw them in the trash. So I would laugh them so hard I couldn't talk.
But you were.
Oh,
my God.
Hilarious.
Wow. Well, of course, they used to stomp on grapes to make the wine.
Yeah, they did.
I suppose you could stomp on tomatoes and eat them, but I wouldn't want to.
No, nor would I, and I thought it was the funniest question I ever heard.
Yeah.
And so what was going on was I was trying to be really nice because she sounded like, you know, I wasn't sure if she was really putting me on or if she really was feeling something was wrong.
Uh-huh.
So I was nice to her, and finally she was quiet and agreed that maybe it would be a good idea to soak her feet in some tomato juice. And I haven't heard back from her yet. She hasn't showed up back, so I don't know what was going on over there. But anyway, that's how the day started, and then again, and then the plumber just showed up. So we're having one of those kind of days.
I see.
So, and also light rain, so that's
mm-hmm.
a good thing.
Good.
I tell you, we're desperate for rain.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
You know, 3 months we haven't had any rain, and that's really not good.
No, it's not. No. Well, I'm glad you're getting it.
Well, I am too. So what are you doing?
Well, I'm working on another book, and
that's what you said.
Yeah. Well, I always try to have a project in, you know, my knapsack.
Yeah.
And you know, that really provides a sense of fulfillment for me.
Right.
You know, of course, I enjoy doing my show. I do that Thursday and Friday nights. And
right.
Tonight I'm being interviewed by somebody. So that thing. Yep. And Robbie and I are going out to dinner to celebrate Valentine's Day right after.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So how about you? Are you doing anything special?
No, I'm working. Right. When this show is over, I got another one to do, and then I have to do some counseling for some women in a women's group that I agreed to do, not having even the brain that this was Valentine's Day. When they called to ask me, they said, "Are you busy on the night of the 14th?" And I said, "No, I'm open after 5:30. I could do 7 to 8, but nothing later than that." Well, here it is Valentine's Day, so we can't even go out to eat.
Aww. Well, you'll have to celebrate tomorrow then.
Well, we'll celebrate on Saturday, my husband said.
Oh, that's good. All right.
Which won't matter. That'll be a good day.
Sure. Any day can be Valentine's Day. Any day can be Christmas.
Right.
Yeah.
Any day can be a happy day.
Mm-hmm.
If you make it that way.
Well, that's exactly it. That's
the
choice we need to make.
That is. And I'm happy because people can make that choice, you know.
Right. And a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah,
They think that happiness happens because of this or that, but that's not true.
That's not true at all. If I depended on that, I'd never smile.
Yeah.
And not a lot of other people wouldn't either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just have to take it and ride the wave. And however it comes out, if you're happy about it and you have a good attitude, it'll come out good.
That's right. Attitude is everything.
Attitude is what it's all about. And there's nothing that's going to change that.
Yeah, and I think that the attitude of gratitude is probably the most important one to have.
Right.
Yeah, we've talked about that many times.
Many times, and I know every once in a while someone will call and say, "That was the best reminder we've had in a long time." That's usually how they say when we said we've talked about attitude.
Oh, good.
And they'll say, "That's the best reminder," and that's good. I'm always happy. Because they took it as a real blessing.
Yes.
And they got more out of it. They said, you know, every time you have your show, you and your partner go to some place where nobody else would go. No other person would go there, but you two go there, and it's just a joy to have you on, be able to watch your show.
Oh.
And that was yesterday.
Really? Well, that's very gratifying.
Well, I said, that's the nicest gift I've had in a long time. Yes, people do call and say they like the show. But he said, that isn't it. He said, we know when we hear your voice that it's going to be something worth listening to. And your partner agrees and he adds to it. And he said, between the two of you, you're like an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a great compliment.
It is a great compliment, yes.
You know,
well, thanks to the fellow.
I did. I said, David, you're a jewel.
Mm.
And he said, well, thank you. He said, I do enjoy your show, and I enjoy you and your partner exchanging information so freely with each other. I said, well, that's what it's about.
That's right.
That's what the whole show is about, to add to what we have each other. Yeah.
And that's what life is about, too.
It is what life is. That is what life is about, because that's all life is about.
Yes.
You know, so that's a good thing. But I had a really good morning. I mean, with people calling and saying thank you and asking for information. And believe me, if they ask for some information and I have it, I give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't charge them for it. I give it to them.
Oh.
They watch our show. They like you. They're happy with the way it's run. They like the things we talk about. So I don't no charge.
Oh, that's sweet. Very sweet.
Well, come on, you know, if it helps them, we've done a good deed for the day.
That's right.
That's our blessing.
Yes, it is. Yep.
So,
might as well pass it on, right?
Right. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be able to do it.
Yeah. That's great. Well,
what have you got to offer?
Well, I thought we'd talk about living in the solution for a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And where shall we start?
Well, you know, my father once said to me that there's a solution to every problem, and we had that in your opening, and then he said that there's usually more than one. And you talked about how you can gather all those solutions up and try to come up with the best one.
That works for you. And a lot of times you'll be talking to somebody who you really don't know, like in a line at a grocery store, and they'll say something and they'll give you the answer. Just automatically, you know, they don't know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
They don't know what you're talking about. But they're expressing what they're doing, and that's exactly the answer you need for what you're doing. I've had that happen so many times, and I'm always so grateful because it's like, to them it's common. But to you and I, we would be working for that common little answer. So I've heard that many times, and I've given a lot of talks. I've given talks to 1,500 people. And there's always going to be somebody in that group that raises their hand and asks a question and then answers their question. And in the process of asking a question, 1,000 other people are asking the question and they're answering it. And so I always make them come to the front of the stage, and some of them won't get on it, but they'll come to the front and say, I learned this from so-and-so, my grandma, my uncle, my somebody, and it always stood to be true. And it's always a fact that they would say that, and if you followed it, they would be right. So sharing those kind of things to me is a real, I consider them a diamond blessing, because it comes from somebody in the audience, it comes from some of the group, and everybody takes it. Absolutely, they don't argue. They just take it as a fact. And to me, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, because I'm not giving it, and so it isn't something I made up. And other people are probably asking it 100 times to each other. And then here's this person comes up and says, well, this is what I learned, or this is what so-and-so told us. And, you know, there's so many little answers like that that solve so many hundreds of problems. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why I like to talk about living in the solution instead of living in the problem.
Right.
Because when you live in the problem, it persists.
It gets bigger.
Yeah.
It gets bigger.
Yeah.
But if you look for the solution, what are you going to find? You're going to find And you're going to find an answer, but you're going to find a method to the answer.
That's right.
Which nobody really thought about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened.
What else would you like to say about living in the solution?
I'd like to say that it has solved so many problems for myself and my children, because when I taught them to be silent, and living in the solution means you have to be silent for a while. Quit looking for an answer. Shut up. Be still. And just be quiet. And then next thing you know, some miraculous thing will come through your head, like an answer or a reason or something. So, again, I'm saying, you know, you've got to be able to allow yourself to be free to think. Here's a problem. Here's what I've heard, and then be silent for a while to see what's in your little noggin up there that's going to come out and offer something to do.
Right.
Solve the problem.
Absolutely. Well, we do have a caller on the line. Shall we take the call?
Absolutely.
Okay. Area code 956, what's your name, please?
Hi, I'm Tony. How are you?
Hi, Tony. Great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. A little bit sick.
Do you have
fine.
A question for Ada Marie?
Yes, I do. Hi, Ada. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, will I find love this year?
Will you find what?
Love. And happy Valentine's Day, by the way.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll tell you how to do it. Quit looking for it, and it'll find you.
Oh, I'm not looking. Trust me, I haven't been looking.
Well, you must be looking because you're thinking about it.
Yeah,
so if you
I
stop,
am.
Okay, then if you stop thinking about it and set your mind on some other project, it'll come.
Okay.
You're asking the very question that a girl asked 2 hours ago in a different show. And
oh, wow.
I said, just go about your business. It'll find you. If you feel that you're going to have a relationship or you're dreaming for a relationship, then stop looking for it. Let it find you. It'll find you.
Okay.
It happens.
Bad.
It's happened
to
more people than I can tell
it.
About. Pardon?
I mean, if you don't look for it, you're never going to get. I mean, you're not going to find someone. It kind of works both ways, I think.
Well, someone will find you, that's for sure. Because if you're ready and looking for something, it will find you. Trust me, it will find you. And you don't know where it's going to find you either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing.
True.
Do you see love coming to her this year, Ada?
Yeah, well, I think she passed up something a couple of months back, but before the fall, before in October, she will find another relationship. If she doesn't walk past it and let it go, she will. She will find another relationship. It's really hard. Sometimes you don't know when you're passing something by, and sometimes you don't know when you should pass something by.
I do have people, but like I have a gentleman that's interested in me, but him and I used to have a relationship back then, and it did not go so good. So I don't. I mean, in my opinion,
then it wasn't the right relationship, was it?
Exactly, because I feel like, well, if we were in a relationship back then and you treated me wrong, what's going to change?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, no, I mean, you should have treated me well when I was in a relationship with you, not after the fact that you decide. You know, when you have someone, if you want them, you treat them well. You don't treat them ugly or disrespectful.
No. Anytime someone treats anyone disrespectful, there is not a relationship there. There is actually abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So, by all means, if somebody says something very disrespectful, what I do is I stand up, I look them right in the eye, and turn around and walk away.
Yeah.
And they're just left standing there with their mouth open. Yeah, it works.
Mm-hmm.
Works very well.
Yeah, I explained myself to that person the same way I explained it to you. You know what, we were there. You took me for granted. So, I mean, I'm not going back there again. I'm just not going back there again. And there's another person that I did have an interest in, but I don't know what happened there. I thought he was, and like you said, it was a couple of months ago, but I never heard back from that person. So I don't know, you know, he got tied up or something's going on or, you know,
you just never know. You just never know, how people respond to an offer or an answer. It just depends on what mood they're in, I guess, or the kind of things they're looking for. a lot of times people are looking for something and they don't know what they're looking for. So they don't respond to something that might be good for them. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's true. So try to always be straightforward with people, and then if that doesn't work, then I will tell them if what they're saying is something I'm not interested in, that I'm not really interested. So I'm very careful about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully this year will be it. Will be the year.
This will be a good year for you, especially along about July or the end of July and August will be excellent months for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you should have a really nice year.
I think so too. I kind of feel this year being a good year for me.
Yes. I would say so.
It feels like a good year. I think finally time, you know.
Yeah, you want to have a good joyous year and have people nice and interesting. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you will. Yeah.
Okay, well, then I'll be patiently, and like I said, I won't look for it. I just wait for it.
Well, just be ready and know that if you're ready, the relationship will appear. It absolutely will. In fact, I had a daughter who, you know, she just felt like she couldn't make ends come together where she could meet with somebody and be on the same page with them. And she was in college, and so she came home very depressed, and she's very, she's over at the neighbor's talking to the neighbor, the kids, you know, the college kids are talking, and she's talking away about how miserable she was, and there was nobody there that she was interested in or that was interested in her. She was having a hard time, and when she got all done talking, the one boy was standing there, and very quietly, he just leaned over and he said, "That's because you had to come home because I wasn't over there." That was so funny because she, you know, she's going on and on and on when she should have shut up a long time ago.
That's amazing. Yeah, I guess love found her.
Yeah, it'll find you. But they were married. They've been married about 15 years now. But it was really funny because she was going on and on and on. He just sat there listening to her.
And was right in front of her. That is amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. It surprised me too. So, but it was good.
Well,
they have a wonderful relationship, and so that's good.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll be patient then. I will be patient.
Yes. Well, thank you for calling. I hope it's been helpful.
Yeah, it has. Just be patient. It's all about patience. But I was like, I've been single for 2 years already. And, I mean, I really wasn't looking because I wasn't ready. And then finally I said, okay, maybe this year, you know. But it's like, okay, nobody, all right.
Well, somebody will show up. I'll tell you, they will. And before the year is over, I would say before the holiday season, you'll be in a relationship, it looks like.
And I hope it's not somebody that I know.
I don't know if it's somebody you know. I know it's a tall, slender person, though. Very slender.
Slender.
So, but I don't know that you know them.
Oh, wow.
But you will meet them, and you will be interacting with them for some reason. So it will be nice. You'll be happy.
Slender. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and you have a wonderful day today.
Likewise. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Tony.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, she was sweet.
She's very sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm surprised if somebody hasn't nabbed onto her. She doesn't have a mean bone in her body.
Well, what you said to her was an example of living in the solution instead of the problem. When you focus on something too much, it doesn't come to you.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact, if you focus on it too much, you lose it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very often, you lose it. So that's not a good plan.
Right, right. Is there anything else you'd like to say about living in the solution?
Well, the one thing about it is when you live in the solution, you've accepted the solution. You've already accepted it within yourself and engaged in the opportunity of being able to make it happen or let it happen, whatever, you know, whichever it is that you're doing. And that's a good thing because you're not running about wasting your time and all that good stuff.
Right, right.
So that's a good thing.
Sure is.
Let's see. What I'd like to say to people, and I had to learn this myself. I as a girl, because girls are a lot more timid than boys most often. I was always afraid I would be intruding on somebody's conversation or their business or their life, and I never was a big one to ask a lot of questions about people, what they did, and you know how old they were, and all those questions you ask people. I never was good at asking those questions, and because I always felt like it was none of my business. If somebody wanted to tell me how old they were or how much they weighed or what kind of job they had or where they traveled, they would automatically tell you. You wouldn't have to ask them. And, oh, my goodness, I got raked over the coals for that.
Oh. How come?
Well, they said that it wasn't proper to ask those kind of questions about what kind of work they did or if they ever traveled to Europe or whatever. But I was trying to think of things for a conversation, and those were the kind of things that I was coming up with, and I was reprimanded because they weren't supposed to be the right thing. Now, today, I hear people ask me that kind of stuff.
Well, to me, it shows interest in the other person, asking them questions like that.
Yeah, well, I thought it was okay, too. But anyway, now I hear everybody doing it, so then I do it. I don't even think about it. I think the lady was wrong.
Yeah, I do, too. Yeah.
But I was very young. I was about 15, 16, and I just wanted to visit and talk to people. So, you know, I'd ask a question like that, and they'd talk for hours.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. You'd never get a word in edgeways.
Uh-huh.
And it's that way today. If somebody comes to visit you, and there's several people, and somebody asks someone about some kind of a project or a trip they went on, there isn't going to be anybody saying another word for 2 hours. They've got the conversation. And that's the way it is. So now that I've grown up a little bit and got a little bit wiser, I don't feel like I'm a bad person. I just talk.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Well,
what shall we talk about now?
One of the things that you had mentioned solutions, and One of the things that I think would be really helpful for people was, and I too had to learn, there is a solution for every problem. But sometimes the solutions are, they're kind of off to one side. People have shoved them aside. They didn't work for them, so they don't share them with anybody else. So if you're looking for a solution, what you need to do is listen. When you're in a group of people, listen. Don't bother to talk, just listen. And if somebody asks a question about something you're interested in, listen extra hard because you're going to get the answer you want from that other person who is talking about the same kind of a thing, and they went through it or they did it, and you'll learn everything you need to know. It's very amazing. I had a group of young people in their teens and 20s, and when one would ask a question and the other one would answer the question, and then the other one would give a different answer, and it would go around like they might talk on that same subject for an hour and a half or 2 hours, but there were so many solutions and there were so many options to pick out that at the end of our two-hour session, partner, everybody was able to say that they had received an answer that they could apply to something that they were doing.
That's wonderful.
And that is a very wonderful group. And I said, well, and Isabel said, why don't you form these groups around the colleges and the kids? I said, are you kidding? I'm only one person. I said, you go do it.
Yeah.
But really, it could be done everywhere. Just with some person that wants to have friends and visit and learn things. Because in those kind of groups, there's a lot of the material that you learn about that you would never even think about if you didn't be in a group.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be a good thing. So, you know. That'd be great.
That sounds like a great idea.
Well, I thought it was, and there were a few colleges in Montana that did that, and they did very well. And somebody always knows somebody that you'd like to know or has some knowledge that you could use. And so the groups got bigger and bigger and bigger until it was pretty near they were taking up the whole gym in the school, because every night after 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock, the kids would get in there and start talking. And the man who was a janitor, his agreement with them was that they would set up the chairs, take the chairs away, and they would see to it that the microphones were shut down correctly, and they could use the gym, and that was wonderful. So the whole thing, it started out with a few people standing, sitting around at a table, ended up in the gymnasium in the evening at 7 o'clock, and the kids had to put out the chairs, and then they had to take the chairs in, and everything had to be cleaned up before they left the gym. And my goodness, I tell you, some of those kids went on to be very, very good entrepreneurs because they had so much information from kids whose parents were in one business or another, and they learned a lot.
Mm.
And that was really a big thing. I mean, I thought it was good.
Mm-hmm.
One of my kids got in on it, one of my sons. He was in that school, and he got to be a part of that. And he has become he's a very wealthy man today because he got into a business he loved, and he got a lot of information from a lot of people and knew the kind of people he was supposed to get in touch with, and it worked very well. And if one teacher in school thought of putting together a group like that, especially in high school, he would have kids eating out of his hand, because those kind of people can find people to talk to them that help them. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
There's always help if you know how to find it.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And that's why it's important to ask questions.
It it is important to ask questions.
Yeah.
I was never very good at that when I was young. I'm better today.
Mm-hmm.
So I do 3 different radio shows. I do 1 in England, and I do 2 in the United States. And I got a call from somebody in, and I don't understand it, in, what do you call it? Africa.
Oh.
I haven't talked there yet, but according to the lady who listened to my show someplace, said, would I be interested if they could set up time for me? And I said, well, I can do a show anywhere as long as I can talk English, because I can't talk any other language. And she started laughing, and she said, there's a lot of English people in Africa.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, okay, so we'll just see what happens.
Uh-huh.
And because I can do it if I talk English, you know.
So is that coming up for you?
I don't know. We just have to wait and see. That just came up last Thursday. And she called me back yesterday and said she was working on it. Don't give up on her.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
Did you ever hear back from Leo Bonomo from England?
Not yet, I haven't, no.
Okay, all right.
But I think Leo's very busy.
He's a very busy man, you're right.
I know he is, because when he was talking to me, he loves to talk. And he was talking and talking, and the phones were ringing and ringing and ringing, and he kept right on talking. Ada, I love to talk to you. I said, we'll call again sometime, but don't call after 7 p.m. my time.
Yeah, right.
And I'm sure he'll call me back, but he's funny. He's really funny.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
yeah, and I like him a lot, and I'm sure he will call me. But he was on the phone a long time. My goodness, it was 11 o'clock at night when I went to bed.
Oh, my.
So, he had a lot of good ideas.
Uh-huh.
He really does. And we'll just see what he comes up with, because I know that he must have things going every which direction all the time, you know.
Well, he's got a very interesting show, and he has a lot of different people on it. I was on it last week, and I really enjoyed it.
He didn't ask me to be on his show. I guess he probably will.
Oh, yes. He's planning on doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway, he's a fine person. His energy pattern is excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a very kind, empathic person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I would be honored to be on his show.
Well, Ada, let's talk a little bit about intuition. I'm interested in how you were mentored in Intuitive Sight, how you learned about that.
Well, that in itself is a really big topic and time-consuming, but let me give you a kind of thing that maybe it'll help. When my great-grandmother, Ada Alice Pope, and my Ada comes from her, she was from England, and she was a great person in the court of England. Now, she was alive. I remember her daughter Ada, who was my grandmother, and she talked the same. Those English people talk like they got a mouthful of potatoes. And you have to learn how to listen to them talk, right?
Yeah.
So I learned a little from my grandma Ada. Then I learned more from her daughter, and I was a little kid on the farm, so there was nothing to distract them. There was no radio, there was no television, there was none of that junk. So it was easy for them to train us, because when they said do something, we did it. Because we wanted to be able to stay and work, you know, get their attention. And that's where I got my sight. Now, if you want to practice your sight, and everybody has sight, so listen to me what I'm going to tell you. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. If you are anywhere in a room, in a car, driving, and a thought flies through your head that you're not thinking about, that's totally foreign to you, and you can jot it down someplace, even if you only jot down three words of that thought, then when you go back and look at those three words again, you will be able to make a connection and find out how to use your sight. I can teach you how to use it, but you're not here. And I did have a professor call me and ask me if I would come to a school and show people how to use their sight. I did that in small groups. I cannot do it in a school because they would not allow me to do what you need to do with the silence in a school.
Mm.
You know, in a school, they want things moving. And so if I invited 50 people here to my property and we spent the weekend, every one of them would walk out of here with their sight. Every one of them would be able to see. Every one of them would be able to reach that point because it's quiet and because we would be visiting and talking in moderate voices that allow the brain to keep the knowledge. It makes a difference in what kind of a voice you have if you're going to train people to use their sight, because the sight is silent. Now, I'm telling you that, and it's true, and you're going to say, how do you know it's sight? You know it because you feel it. That's where it comes from, the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in the heart, and it comes into the brain. So, yes, I would love somebody who had time and purpose to put together a group, and I would go and work with them. But I'm up to my ears in trying to do all the things I'm trying to do to help. And I think it would be a good thing. I think everybody would walk away. And some of the people I've helped have said, oh, I taught my sister. It was so encouraging. She got it. She got it. And I said, that is encouraging, and that makes your sight better.
Mm.
And a lot of people said, oh, one man said, I taught my wife. He said, it was such a thrill to see her. She just blossomed. And she wasn't afraid of anybody anymore. And she just blossomed. So I'm going to get to meet them next year when they come to the United States.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's going to be wonderful. I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
But see, there's so much that, and it don't take long. I mean, one weekend, I could teach, you know, however many people I could gather up, I could teach them in one weekend to do the same thing. And it's like, you know what it is? It's like tying your shoes. When you're a little kid, you got to make the tree for the rabbit to run around and go through the hole, and then he has two ears.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same way with sight. When you do the first step, it'll lead you to the second step and the third step.
Mm.
So everybody has it if they want to use it, but you cannot use it negative. You cannot use it to do harm. If you use it to do harm, it'll come back and slap you. You cannot do harm with it. You know, you can't see somebody bad or anything. You have to be positive. You have to have a positive reaction, or you're going to have a negative reaction, because whatever you send out, that's what you're going to get.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. That's the universal law, and the universe doesn't change its laws. It's pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to do something like that. People might get away with it for a little while, but when the time comes to roost on what you did, you're the one that's going to pay the price. So don't do it to begin with.
I hear you loud and clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing that happens in this kind of work. And I have never been selfish, and I've never had a any jealousy or anything like that. I have never really understood. I've never really understood what jealousy is and how it even happens. And I've never understood why people would want to be mean to someone.
I don't either. Listen, we do have another caller. Shall we take the call?
Absolutely.
Okay. Hi, you're live on the air. What is your name, please?
This is Trish. How are you?
Hi, Trish. Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm finally glad I was home to catch part of your show.
Ah, yeah. Well, you tuned in on the tail end. We're late. We're early today. We usually are on at 5 o'clock Eastern time. But had some Valentine's Day plans in store, so we moved the show up a little bit earlier. But say hello to Ada.
Hello, Ada. How are you?
I'm good. And how are you?
I'm good. And I had a question. I know it's Valentine's Day, but my question was more about what you were picking up around me finding a new job or increased abundance.
Hmm. Okay, ask your question.
Well, I'm currently interviewing and sending out resumes, and I was curious if you saw me landing something new.
You did land something, didn't you?
No, at the moment I'm still in the interviewing stage.
Well, I think you have landed something, and I think you just don't know what it is.
Okay. You mean landed a job?
Yeah, right. I think you've been somewhere, and I don't know if you actually interviewed or if you've met the people, but there were three people there, and I think you have a job.
Well, I currently have a job. I'm just looking for a different one.
I know, but you've interviewed with somebody who's interested in hiring you. I'm trying to tell you this.
Okay, so it's coming in the future.
Yeah, in the near future.
Oh, okay. And is it more money?
Yes. Phew.
Okay.
That came quick.
Well, that's great. And as long as I have you on the phone and there's no one else, do you mind if I ask you another question?
No, go right ahead.
I'm waiting to move, and I'm just wondering if it's going to go on schedule.
Are you sure you're moving in the right place?
Yeah, it's actually something I built.
Okay. Then it'll go on schedule.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you
okay.
for taking the time to speak with me.
Well, you're welcome. You're very welcome.
Thank you,
have
David.
A wonderful day.
You too.
Hey, Trish, you take good care.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, you too.
Yes, absolutely. Bye-bye. Happy Valentine's Day.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, Ada, we've got about 10 minutes left to go. I'm trying to think if we can pick up the thread where we were talking. The last thing I remember you talking about was jealousy, and I'm not sure.
Well, jealousy is insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if more people realized that their jealousy is insecurity and it comes out of childhood, because sometimes jealousy is when children are not properly attended to. And that jealousy comes from that lack of feeling wanted.
That makes sense.
And that's the bottom line. And it's very hard to get rid of that jealousy because it's inbred from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to, they have to want to understand what happened so that they can get over it. Because I've worked with a number of people who have big, big, big businesses. I mean, they're sitting at the top. And they're fighting this thing, and they're trying to hide it, and they're getting, you know, they get sick from it. And so the real crux of dealing with jealousy is to remember that all jealousy is a reason to feel sorry for yourself. Got it?
I've got it.
How simple is that?
That's very simple, and that's the way things seem to go. Any spiritual truths are very simple, aren't they?
They are simple. And I've said that in very large groups, and people have later, I've run into them or they've sent me a Christmas card or something, and they said, that was the most profound statement anyone ever made about jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because it's true.
Yeah.
It's simple truth. And if you realize it, then you're not going to be jealous. Because why? What's the point?
That's true.
Yeah.
There is no point.
No, there is no point.
Yeah.
It gains nothing. So that's very interesting, though.
But it feeds on itself if you don't heal from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, just it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I find it very amazing.
Well, is there anything else you want to say today, or shall we wrap things up?
Well, we can wrap up, but let's say this to our people. Valentine's Day is a day when you can actually tell anybody you love them, and it's perfectly honest, and it's perfectly safe.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you can hug them, you can hold them, you can give them a gift, you can go for a walk with them, have a cup of coffee. It's perfectly safe because it's Valentine's Day, and that allows every one of us to do whatever we want that's nice and wonderful and happy on Valentine's Day. Too bad we don't have more of them.
I know. It should be every day.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. Well, that's a great message, and that's a good place to stop for today.
Okay, and we will talk again soon.
Okay. Next week at 3 o'clock your time.
Right. I got it on the book.
Okay. You take good care, hon.
You too, honey.
Oh.
And thank you for calling.
Yes, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay.